This is UK Talk Radio with the music you love and the chat you enjoy.
Welcome, it's Jonathan Hines here with you on UK Talk Radio, continuing with our new series on various aspects of law and finding a solicitor. In this particular interview, I got a delightful lady with me in the studio now. That's Gemma Burden from Lacey Solicitors in the Dorset area. Welcome to UK Talk Radio, Gemma.
Thank you for having me.
Now, this is obviously a series where we're covering various aspects of law. I mean, it can be a minefield for somebody, especially somebody who's never used a solicitor before. What's your particular area of law, Gemma?
So I'm a family mediator.
You've worked that out there.
We have, yes. So effectively what I do is help separating couples try and work out how they're going to arrange child contact, where the children are going to spend their time once they're separated, and any financial matters that need to be sorted out. And the aim of mediation is to try and get the parties talking and reaching agreements between themselves rather than leaving it for a judge in court to decide.
Yes. So when people initially contact you, what's the first step, Gemma?
They will initially, once they've made the referral, they'll give us the contact details for the other party, and we'll see each of them individually first of all to assess whether the case is suitable for mediation and to explain the process. And then once we've seen both of them, they'll come in for their joint mediation session where they sit round the table with the mediator and get into the nitty-gritty of what they need to sort out.
And what might be an example of when you wouldn't be able to deal with the case or where it wouldn't be right for you?
So that might be in cases of extremely high conflict, if there's been domestic abuse where there's bail conditions and the parties can't meet face to face, for example. It might be because for one reason or another they feel that they need the backing of a court order and a judge to intervene, and what we can't do in mediation is produce something that's binding in the same way that a court order is. So if they want to sort out contact but they need a court order in place, then mediation might not be for them. But ultimately, at the end of the process, if they do reach an agreement on the child matters, the aim is that they're going to get to a place where they can trust each other better and not need the court order. With regard to finances, although we can't draw up anything legal at the end, obviously everyone's aim on the financial side is to get something legally binding, and that's when they would go to see a solicitor at the very end of the mediation and get that legal document drawn up. So it doesn't mean we can't end up with a legal outcome, but we're just helping them get to that final point without constant letters backwards and forwards through solicitors and things like that.
Tell us more about mediating where finances are concerned in particular.
So generally they follow a very similar pattern, those sorts of mediations. The first step for the mediator and the clients is to establish what assets are in the pot for sharing. So that will involve going through both parties giving details of their savings, their investments, their income, and the mediator looking at if there's any areas where they need to get valuations done and things like that. And once they've established what's in the pot, it's then about exploring what each party's needs are and what options there are in order to meet those needs. And there's all sorts of options that the mediator would then explore with the clients. Quite often clients have got their own idea about what they want to do, but sometimes it helps to have someone else there to throw in some ideas they might not have thought of. So that's generally what happens in the mediation. And then ultimately, after exploring the options and reality testing which options will and which options won't work, it would be about them hopefully coming to some final agreement or compromise on how they're going to move forward.
Just slightly digressing, does the issue of inheritance and wills and people fighting over money, you know, in a bereavement, does that ever come into your area at all, or is that totally...
That's something that can be mediated. It wouldn't be classed as a family mediation in those cases, but you can have other types of mediation over different subject matters. So certainly and contested wills and things like that is something that's very good for mediation, because quite often those sorts of cases, the same as family and divorce cases, a lot of it's about emotion more than anything else.
Yeah.
And what the court can't do is delve into the deeper underlying issues that the parties have, and sometimes mediators have the time to do that with the parties, and that can quite often turn cases around once you can tackle some of those underlying issues.
And what about children in these sorts of cases? You know, how do you make sure they have a voice? How does that work?
we can make sure children have a voice. Sadly, when parents are divorcing, they're quite often so caught up in their own emotional issues that the voice of the child gets lost in the process.
Yes.
And we can see children as mediators and give them a chance to talk to someone that's neutral, that's not mum or dad, and find out how they're coping and what their wishes and feelings might be about the future arrangements. And when parents are quite entrenched in their own views, quite often the input of the child can be quite crucial in turning that around and helping the parents work together.
Which is a wonderful thing, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
Yeah, because it sounds awful and you can't believe it can happen, but they can forget about how the children feel and how the children are the most important thing in all of it.
They are, and all it takes really is for parents to be reminded of that and to not lose sight of the fact that the innocent parties in any separation are always the children.
Mm.
And by seeing children and giving them a voice, it just brings that back to the fore again and gets the parents focusing on working together as parents.
And tell us a bit more about the costs, about the availability of legal aid, and what help might be available to those maybe who are less able to pay the full costs.
Yeah, well, one of the big pluses for mediation is that whether clients get legal aid or whether they don't, it's generally a much cheaper option than going through the court. So even if clients weren't eligible for legal aid, it's going to be a cheaper route anyway. However, what a lot of people don't realise is there is legal aid available for mediation and quite widely available. Legal aid in recent years has been slashed by the government, and it's very
Usually,
difficult.
I believe. Yeah,
yeah, and it's very difficult for people to get legal aid to deal with any court cases in terms of family matters. But for mediation, as long as parties are eligible on their capital and their income, then legal aid is available for them. If essentially, what we have to do is assess what the party's capital is, first of all. But what people don't realise is that there's a huge amount of the capital that we can disregard. So we can disregard any equity they might have in their main home, for example, and we can disregard a certain amount of the capital that they might be coming to mediate about. So in
Yes.
financial cases, that cuts out quite a lot of the capital. And in terms of their income, if their income is under £2,657 a month, then we can go on and look at their disposable income. And their disposable income has to be under £733 a month. Now, by disposable income,
right,
we're able to take into account their housing costs, for example, what rent they're paying, what mortgage they're paying. We can take into account allowances for how many children they've got or if they're paying child maintenance. So there's lots of things that can come off and make people eligible. It's not just people that are on benefits that get legal aid. It's a lot wider than that.
Mm. That's interesting, that figure, £733. If that's their disposable income after
certain allowances
bills.
Come off.
Yeah. Would that be for a couple or an individual?
So we assess each party individually. So it's based on their individual income as opposed to the other party's income, if you like. If they are living with a new partner now, then we have to take that new partner's income into account when we do the assessment.
Mm.
The other thing to do with legal aid that a lot of people aren't aware of is that even if you're not eligible for legal aid, if the other party is eligible, then you actually get your first session free for both of you.
Right.
So that's a real plus in traditional situations where you might have one breadwinner and then a homemaker, for example. You might find that the higher earner also gets a free session because the person that stayed at home and was working part-time gets legal aid.
Mm.
So that's quite helpful.
And tell us a bit more, very briefly, Gemma, never enough time, about mediating in cases of high conflict or high levels of violence or domestic abuse.
Quite often people think that if there's been any sort of domestic abuse, the case wouldn't be suitable for mediation, which we don't tend to agree with. Some cases that might be the case. But in mediation, one of the big advantages of mediation is the parties are in control of the decision making. And quite often victims of domestic abuse have lost that control during the relationship. So it's a good way to empower them to be able to make decisions for themselves, but in a controlled setting. And we can screen for domestic abuse when we see the clients individually at the start of the process, and we can then decide how best to manage the process in order to protect them. Now, that might mean seeing them in separate rooms if they don't want to sit in the same room together. So that's called shuttle mediation, and that's where the mediator we'll have them both in the building, but we'll go between two rooms rather than having them sat around a table. We make sure that they have separate arrival and departure times, separate waiting areas, etc. So there's ways we can manage that.
There was a recent TV series about mediation, wasn't
there? Yes, there was.
They were in the same room together, but I thought that was so interesting.
Yes, yeah, it is.
It can get really ugly, can't it?
It can.
Sometimes the results from this kind of thing can be so good, though, can't they?
I mean, that's why I ended up moving from being a divorce lawyer in court to doing mediation, is that it's much more rewarding to be able to get parents to work together and come up with a conclusion themselves rather than going off to court and letting a judge decide, and quite often neither of them really being happy with the outcome in the end anyway. So certainly that's why I sort of converted over into mediating.
Gemma Burden of Lacey Solicitors in Bournemouth and Poole, thanks so much for this fascinating discussion. I could talk to you for another 20 minutes.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
This is UK Talk Radio with the music you love and the chat you enjoy.